Reading in this chapter in the immediate context, the words are prophetic and they are referring to that time when Judah and the children of Israel, who had been exiled in Babylon, when they would find their liberty again. In verse 5, if you read it there, we have really presented to us a very fascinating picture. It says, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Zion in Scripture represents the church. I'm sure many of you here tonight are aware of that. One scripture in Psalm 132 and the verse 13, it says there, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. I know that sometimes Jerusalem is referred to by this Zion, but I see here that it refers to something else. Because when the hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote the hymn that we will sing later on tonight, God willing, he wrote, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. So Zion also is a symbol of that place where every Christian is assured of, called heaven. And Watts, when he was penning these words, he wrote from a redeemed heart, we are marching to Zion. The title, therefore, for my message tonight is, are you traveling to Zion? It's a question. Are you traveling to Zion? Because as we look at these two verses in particular and refer to other places as well, I think when we look at the travelers here, we can see a gospel application. A word in season for those who don't know the Lord yet. So the important question is, are you traveling to Zion? I would like you to notice, first of all, the state of the travelers. Well, when you and I consider the state of these travelers, we first of all want to note words that indicate tragedy. If you look there in verse 7, near the end it says, they have sinned against the Lord. And in verse 6, there's the words there, lost sheep. And when you and I take those words, we can always apply them to those who do not know the Savior, to those who are lost sinners. And we're referring here to travelers, because really that is what this passage in God's Word is all about. Travelers traveling to Zion. And when we think here of the tragedy of those who have sinned against the Lord and are lost, those who are lost sinners, when we think of many of them, we think of the fact that they have tried roads. They have tried other roads. There was a man who lived in Magashal when I was still a cool man. Magashal, just outside Dungannon there. And for several years, when we would have been round there delivering coal to him, he always talked religious talk. And he was not afraid to mention the Lord's name or to talk about things to do with church. Really nice man. Very well mannered and totally inoffensive to anyone. And then one Monday when we went round, the whole place was closed up because he had passed away very suddenly. And there was another young lady, young married woman, with a family just round the corner. And on that same day, we were speaking to her, and she knew that he had passed away. And I said, well, you know, she was a Baptist girl, a Christian woman. And I said, well, you know, at least he was saved. And she just looked at me and said, how do you know? I said, well, he always talked. And she says, he always talked. Said, I know of several of my friends who they went to, I think it was Gort Murren Baptist, it was called, at that time they went to. And several of my friends who have spoken to him, and in all of their talking with him, they were never able to get a testimony from him. And he could never point out a time when he had come as a sinner to Jesus. He could talk about everything under the sun to do with church. But as far as that young woman, and again, she was an unassuming person, but a godly young woman. And she said to me, she says, I don't think he was saved at all. And men and women, there are many like him tonight. In fact, the Bible over in the book of Proverbs tells us about them. And it says concerning men like this individual, and women too, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, and that's what counts, the end thereof are the ways of death. What road are you on? Are you traveling to Zion, or could we write across your door tonight, tragedy? You're trying a different road. Probably a good living road. Some have tried roads. Some have experienced turmoil on these roads. When I first left school, I worked in Moy Park in, I think I've told you all before, I hated school and wouldn't do anything. Could have done all right, but just refused to do most things. And when I left school, I just wanted to get money and get a car. And that's what I did. But when I was working in my park, there was a fellow worked near me. And his real name was Philip, but for some strange reason, I never found out why, everyone called him Oscar. And Oscar every day sang the same song. And when he was working, you would hear him singing, and I used to wish I had earmuffs, because he used to sing a song, and it was, "Hurry up, Harry, come on, we're going down to the pub." And he would sing it over and over and over again. And then I wasn't there very long, and I knew a little bit about Philip, or Oscar. And Oscar was discovering and experiencing the turmoil of the other roads, of trying to find contentment, mostly in going down to the pub. And he sang about it every day. But you know, after a few years, when I heard about Philip or Oscar, Oscar was a deacon in the Baptist church. He got onto the right road. Again, I asked you the question, what road are you traveling on? Are you tonight in the midst of enduring the turmoil of what the world has to offer, just like poor Philip was? Some have tried roads. Some have experienced the turmoil of the roads. But with some, there's great tiredness on the roads, because they've become weary in their sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he knew what was in man, and he knew what was in me and what's in you, and he said long ago words that will stand the test of all eternity. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, worn down, weary and tired. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Another brief question tonight, as we consider the state of the travelers, are you one of them? And we could say, first of all, we could write across your door, tragedy. But I want to say something else here, not just tragedy associated when we look at these words, sinned against the Lord and lost, but there is the thought of turning. If you look there in verse 5, it says, with their faces thitherward. And the thought here is, well, here are a people who are searching. Here are people who are searching. And surely men and women, the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, if you were to ask them tonight, what is their hope beyond life? Most of them, whatever they might like the public to think, they will want to think that it's well with them if they believe they have a soul at all. Thousands of people in Ulster want to know that at the end of the day, that it is well with their soul. I've told you the story of the two men working their hearts out, tidying up the graveyard of a certain church, and one saying to the other, do you think we'll ever have done enough? How tragic. But I asked you the question tonight, where it says here, with their faces thitherward. Now, there's that desire to get to Zion. And you stop a moment and you think about, well, we're looking at Zion tonight as heaven. There's so much there that ought to encourage you to turn. There are loved ones there who loved you, maybe prayed for you. There'll be freedom from sin, from the very presence of sin. There'll be freedom from the harassment of the devil. There will be perfect rest for all who are there. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's a great verse. But you could look at it another way and say, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of many men, the things that are prepared for them who don't know the Lord. Men and women, hell is an awful place. And it will go on for all eternity. And I wonder tonight, as you think of the state of these travelers, I wonder, would you not consider turning? Could you not look beyond this life for a moment and look beyond what the world system has to offer and realize that you too need to turn? Look at them here. We think of them turning, wanting to turn, but they're greatly troubled as well. Look at verse 5 again. It says, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. If you were in physical danger and there was someone who could help you, you would not be afraid to ask for help. And I wonder, have you never considered the serious danger that your soul is in? I think if we can get people to that point where they recognize the awful danger that their soul is in, then maybe they'd consider these things more seriously. The Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to believers, he wanted them, those who were saved, he wanted them to remember where they come from. And when you remember where you come from, you'll want to win others to the Lord. He said in verse 12 of Ephesians 2, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. There's the words we want you to focus on. No hope, and without God in the world. Without God in the world. I wonder, are you troubled tonight? And has it ever crossed your mind just to ask the way to Zion. I think it was maybe when we were in outreach at the college at Rasharkin, possibly near a place called Tintown up there, and there's a yard we went to, the farmer giving out some invitations to a mission when we were students, and there was a young man working there, and he told us plainly, we said we're just giving out some invitations to a mission, and he said, what's that about? And I said, it just shows people how they can be saved. He said, I've heard about this saved. What does it mean to be saved? And he told us then that he was a Roman Catholic. And men and women, he was asking. People tonight, if their minds filled with things and the thought of what the world has to offer, but when we think on down the line a bit, surely if you're troubled tonight, you'll want to find out how it can all be changed. Think of something else here as we consider the state of these travellers. There is the toughness of sin, and there are words used there that so be. How tough sin was. If you look there in verse 4 with me, please, it says they're going, they're weeping, and they're going to seek, it says. And in verse 5, we've already mentioned, they're going to ask. So we're going to ask you the question tonight about the toughness of sin. Sin has dominated, directed your life. And be honest, it's brought despair. You've enjoyed the season of sin that the Bible talks about, the season in pleasure, but for so many people that I know tonight, that season's over. The season of pleasure has come and it is gone now. It ran out. And that which once seemed to bring delight now brings despair. Again, what road are you on? As we consider here traveling, are you traveling to Zion? But there's not only here, as we noted there with the first place concerning these people, the state of these travelers, but would you notice with me, please, the subduing of the travelers? Let's look again at these verses and see what it says. It says, come, verse 5, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord. You see, the Lord has done everything necessary for salvation, but we must come to him. And we must be brought into what is called vital union with him. And that only comes when we repent of our sin and turn from it and embrace him as Savior and Lord. He calls loud and clear in the gospel. He assures us in his word that we can get onto this highway that leads to heaven and a home. But tonight again, he's still knocking at your heart's door. We're in Revelation 3 and 20. There are words which apply in the context to Christian church, but they're so often quoted and preached in a gospel meeting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's a sobering position. I wonder, unsaved person, did you ever think of that before when you listened to a gospel meeting? That the Lord was actually just outside your heart's door. And as you listened to the word, there may have been things said that you didn't really like because they made you feel uncomfortable. Well, that was the Lord knocking at your heart's door. It's a sobering position. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, there's the simple plea. You've heard him. And I wonder, are you honest enough with yourself to say you've heard his voice to you? The simple plea is, if any man hear my voice and open the door, and you won't do it. Why are you keeping it closed? God won't force it open. He will bring about circumstances where you see that you need to open that door, but it pictures coming to him. The Lord's sobering position right outside your heart tonight. His simple plea is, open to him. And his saving promise is, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Really, we could say that when we think here of the subduing of these travelers, come and let us join ourselves unto the Lord. You're talking now in this language about forsaking sin, and that's what you don't want to do. So many individuals would just love to know that everything is well with their soul, but they cannot forsake their sin. Why? The Bible tells us why. Men love darkness rather than light. Why do you love it, sinner? What has sin ever done for you that is profitable in your life? There are an odd people here and there in these days, the ones and twos, and they're forsaking their sin. Would you not do that tonight? There's the forsaking here of sin. And then there is that joining that we mentioned. Let us join ourselves to the Lord. What a wonderful thing to know that we're in union with Christ. There's a really lovely verse over in Hosea and chapter 2. And when I was thinking here of being joined to the Lord and the subduing of the traveler, I thought of this verse, and it says in verse 19 of Hosea 2, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Do you want certainty this evening? Some of us here are old enough to know that in life there's not too much certain. But here's one thing that is dead certain. If the Lord saves you tonight, he will keep you. It says here, I will betroth thee unto me forever. That is the certainty. It says, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment. That speaks of being covered. Being covered in the righteousness of Christ. One of the Puritan writers put it something like this. They said concerning the Lord Jesus that he hideth our unrighteousness with his righteousness. And there the wrath of God cannot find us. That's where you need to be. There's certainty here and there's a thought of being covered, but there is compassion. It says, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness. Why should God have mercy upon me? Why should he ever give a thought to me? You will read of some in the scriptures who had great compassion for souls, but none of them could compare with Christ. As he wept over Jerusalem and a host of others, and he said concerning many, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Man or woman, what an awful thing. On judgment day to stand before the Lord and have the Lord say to you, you would not come to me that you might have life. Think of his compassion. But then there is his calling. It says, in loving kindness and in mercies. No sinner deserves to hear the gospel once, and you've heard it in all likelihood far more than that. I wonder again tonight, would you not be done with sin? When you don't determine that from this night that things are going to be different for you. I'm not questioning your character as far as a man or woman is concerned. I often think of that man in my Gashel. And how everything looked right. When I look back now, there were things missing in what he said. But the young woman around the corner had it all worked out. Because they knew he was on that way that seemeth right unto men, but that the end thereof was the ways of death. What an awful tragedy. There was the state of these travelers, and then the subduing of the travelers. But I want you just to notice quickly the surrendered travelers. It says here in verse 5, they're going to join themselves unto the Lord in a perpetual covenant. And the covenant involves, in this case, two parties. And what we're looking at tonight, we see the Lord and the sinner. And when the sinner comes in repentance, he's joined to the Lord. He's guaranteed heaven. And then he is one of those who is traveling to Zion. Very simple and straightforward question as we finish. How do you measure up? Are you traveling to Zion? Most important question of your life. I trust tonight, wherever you are listening, for all who are gathered here too, as you look into your own heart, if it's not right with God, that this very night, right now, that you will get right with God, and that you will be one from this night forward who is traveling to Zion.